everybody. Let's all stand, and we'll start off with a word of prayer. Brother Bob, would you say some more prayer, please? Amen. So I'll take your hymnals and turn to hymn number 179. Such Love.
Such Love. Abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, and you won't start now.
Well, amen. We're in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 29 to be exact. I encourage you to turn there. I want to mention we got in the mail this week that you can vote early if you don't want to go on August the 2nd. You can go early. Advance voting begins July the 16th. And it lists nine different locations for those in Johnson County. And Monticello Library right over here is one of them. So that would make that real easy. And then there's also voting on July 23rd that starts at seven more locations. So if you're interested, I'll leave this up here and you can look that over. Or you can just wait and go August 2nd if you'd like. But I'd encourage you to vote and to remember this issue is so important that we get out and vote for it. All right, Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. I've entitled this Three Letters, okay? It encompasses the whole chapter of Jeremiah 29, which is rather lengthy at 32 verses. So we'll begin by looking at the first letter, which is the first 23 verses. And so I'll read a few verses here and then we'll get started. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jehoiachin the king and queen, the eunuchs, and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem. By the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, I want to say German, Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Lord, we love you and we thank you for our time together this evening. We pray and ask that you would meet with us, that you might be honored and glorified through your word tonight. Thank you for the example here, Jeremiah being faithful to proclaim the truth of the word to his people. And Lord, I pray that you would just teach us from it tonight. And I thank you for the opportunity to be together, to enjoy the wonderful, cool air that we get to enjoy in the facility this evening. So we just pray that you'd be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. We love you, and we ask these things in your precious name. And all the people said, Amen. Awesome. So the first thing we see is the person and place. And that's found in 29, verse number 1a. And there we read, Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives. And so Jeremiah is sending this letter. He's sending it to these who had been led away captive. And so it leads us to point number B, which is the parties and the purpose. And so he writes to the Jewish exiles living in Babylon for a twofold purpose, okay? And the first is to comfort and instruct. And so I'm going to pick up reading in verse number 5 where I left off at, Build ye houses and dwell in them and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminish. And seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord of it, for in the peace thereof ye shall have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which he sees or which he caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not seen them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you, it causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will return again, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations and from all places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. And so Jeremiah is proclaiming to those that have gone away in exile, listen, you ought to build, you ought to plant, you ought to marry, you ought to raise children, because you're going to be there for 70 years. It's just straight up, you're going to be there 70 years. Realize after that 70 years that God will bring you back to the land and you will greatly prosper there. And so his plans are of good and not evil. God wanted to bless them. He wanted to put his hand upon them. Yeah, he wanted to bless them in a great way. It wasn't God's plan to destroy them. This 70 years of judgment that the nation was going to face was from the hand of the Lord, and he tells them to go ahead and go about life. Go ahead and live. Go ahead and plant and build and marry and raise children, because you're going to be there 70 years. But after those 70 years, God said, I'll bring you back to the land. In verse number 11 through 14, we read, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God said, I've thought this out. This is the way it's going to go, and I've got this plan for you. This is what you need to do. My thoughts towards you are of peace. Verse 12, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Kind of reminds me of today, where we're at. We're supposed to seek the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our being. It ought to be something that we daily do. And so God's just reminding them through Jeremiah, look, this is a plan that I have for you. If you'll do it the way that I've spelled it out for you, I've got this plan for you, and I want to bless you. Verse 14, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. And so after these 70 years, God says, if you'll just stay close to me, if you'll pray and you'll just be about the work that I have for you those 70 years, I've got a plan for you. You're not going to stay there forever. This is just a passing. It's a judgment that must come, and you're going to be there for those 70 years. After that, I'm going to bring you out, and I'm going to pour my blessings upon you. If you will seek me, if you will want me, if you desire me. You know, I feel sorry for Christians who don't seek after the Lord, because you're missing out on the great blessings of really knowing him. I'm a Christian. I know I'm on my way to heaven, and I carry my Bible. I read it once in a while. I pray some, but I just can't get into all that spiritual stuff, preacher. And I would just like to say that you're really missing out. The blessings of God comes as we make that transition to a closer walk with him, as we seek to know him in a greater way. I think of many of the songs that we sing, and many of the songs in the hymn book and so forth, written by men and women who had found out what it was like to really draw close to the Lord, to really desire to know him. And Jeremiah here is telling the people through God, telling Jeremiah to tell them, look, you need to seek me. You need to know me. You need to desire to know me in a better way, that you might know real peace, that you might know real joy. And so it comes that we might have a closer relationship with God. That's what God desires of us while we're here on this earth. Now, you understand that when we get ready to go to heaven, we take nothing with us, right? Nothing. It's all going to be divided up by whoever we've left it to or whatever, but we're not taking any of it with us. So what can we take to heaven? Well, we can take to heaven souls. We can be a witness. We can win people to the Lord. We can send people to heaven through their knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I believe we can send our tithes and offerings. I believe there's a reward in heaven that if we're faithful down here, he pours his blessings out upon us. I believe it's part of a reward that we'll have in heaven as our works are tried by fire. I think that our finances are another way. But I think the number one thing is by seeking to have a close relationship with Jesus. Get it kicked off while we're here. So when we get to heaven, he knows, okay, I know. I know he knows who we are. But, as we get ready to go to heaven, wouldn't it be great if we were all on really great terms with the Lord? And we poured our heart out to him. We sought him daily. We knew him, and I believe he knows us. And that interaction, that fellowship that we can have is just kind of a precursor for when we get to heaven. And it's kind of like, okay, we're light years ahead, because we've sought that relationship with Him, we've desired that relationship with Him. So I would just encourage you, desire to know the Lord, desire to draw close to Him. So that's the first of 2 points of that the parties and the purpose. The first is to comfort and instruct, and the second is to condemn. Okay, this verses 15 through 23, we find that Jeremiah warns the exiles that soon two groups of people will be severely punished by the Lord. And so here in verse number 15, because ye have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon. Know that thus saith the Lord of the king that setteth upon the throne of David, and of all the people that dwelleth in his city, and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and I will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. And I will persecute them with the sword, and with the famine, and with the pestilence. And I will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, and an astonishment, and a hissing, and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them, because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord. And so Jeremiah is warning the people. He's warning them, the exiles, that, hey, there's two groups of people here, and you need to be aware of those two groups. The first group is the countrymen of exiles, including King Zedekiah, still living their sinful lives in Jerusalem. They, you know, remember, Jeremiah told the nation of Israel, you need to surrender, you need to go to Babylon, surrender to them, and some rebelled against that. Some would not have it. Evidently, King Zedekiah and others were still in Jerusalem. They were told not to be in Jerusalem. They're still in Jerusalem, still living their sinful lives in Jerusalem. And so that's the first group. Verses 20 through 23, we see the second group. And that's the lying and immoral prophets like Ahab and Zedekiah, who conduct their godless ministries in Babylon. So there's those that never left out of rebellion. They stayed in the land of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah said, look, stay away from those. God is not blessing what they do. The second group are those who went to Babylon, but they're conducting their godless ministries. They're outside of the authority of God. They're lying. They're immoral. It says that they're prophets like Ahab and Zedekiah, and they're conducting their godless ministries there in Babylon. He said, don't have anything to do with them. Stay away from them. So it's a clear warning. He's told them now, if you go 70 years, build, marry, all those kind of kings, given in marriage and all that, and then at the end of 70 years, I'm going to bring you forth. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pour my hand out upon you and bless you in a great way. You need to be seeking me. You need to be desiring me. There's two groups that you need to watch out for and stay away from. The first one is King Zedekiah, who stayed in Jerusalem, who didn't surrender like he was supposed to. And then, so he's in rebellion. And then the second group is those that have come in and they're misprophesying. They're going against what God wants to want the people to hear. And so watch out for them. That's the first letter. The second letter is found in verses 24 through 29 of Jeremiah 29. It says, thus shalt thou speak to Shemaiah the Nehemite, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, because thou hast sent letters in thy name unto all the people that are at Jerusalem, and to Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah, the priest, and all the priests, saying, the Lord hath made thee priest in the stead of Jehoiada, the priest, that ye should be officers in the house of the Lord for every man that is mad and maketh himself a prophet, that thou shouldest put him in prison and in stocks, Now therefore, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah of Anthrol, which maketh himself a prophet to you? For therefore he sent unto us in Babylon, saying, This captivity is long. Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. And Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the ears of Jeremiah the prophet. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Send to all them of the captivity, saying, Thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehemlite, because that Shemaiah hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nephilite and his seed, and he shall not have a man to dwell among his people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord, because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord. And we talked Sunday about rebellion. We talked there in the book of Jude, how that's a sign of apostates. And even here, these people going against God and against God's prophet. And so they're prophesying their own thing. They're trying to get up their own following. And so God has promised that there's going to be a judgment that's going to come on Shemaiah, and because he is a false prophet in Babylon, and he writes that he'll not have any children. He'll not have any. And then, so we see the person and the place. Shemaiah, another false prophet in Babylon, and he wrote this letter. It starts out what we read there, the parties and purpose, verses 25 through 29. Shemaiah tells Zephaniah, a priest living in Jerusalem, that God has appointed him, Zephaniah, to do the things that we find written in verses 25 through 29. He was to go out and he was to find out, reprove Jeremiah there in verse number 27 and do these things. And so he was to replace the high priest, Jehoiada, in verses 29, 25, and 26, and he's also to put anyone claiming to be a prophet in stocks and neck irons, and to silence Jeremiah the prophet in 29, 27 through 29. And so that was the second letter. So this two of the three letters so far. Here's the last letter, verses 30 through 32. I guess we could say of this letter that it's short and sweet, right? Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Send to all them of the captivity, saying, Thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nephilite, because that Shemaiah hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nephilite and his seed, and he shall not have a man to dwell among his people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord, because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord. And so the person and the place is Jeremiah writing to Jerusalem. He's instructing them of the things to come, and the party and the purpose is he's to inform the exiles that God will soon judge Shemaiah and his family for his lying and his wickedness. He will perform against them. He will go against them. I don't know about you, but I would want anyone against me but God. I don't want God against me. I think I could take even my best friend turning against me, but I sure wouldn't want God to turn against me. And that's what's happened here. Shemaiah has been out. He's been prophesying. He's proclaimed to be this prophet of God. He's supposedly speaking in the name of the Lord, and the whole time he's doing his own thing, and therefore he's going to reap the judgment of God for doing his own thing and pretending to be something that he really wasn't. So my takeaway for you tonight is this, and I think that, you know, there's many things here. Hopefully something else might have spoken to you. But my takeaway for this to you tonight is verse number 12, verse number 11. It says, For I know thy thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. I think God still thinks thoughts of peace towards his people here on this earth. And I was thinking even today about the fact that the Lord could return, or he could not. And we could go through persecution. And why not? The first century Christians did. Why not us? Whether he comes back or not, he has a plan for us, and we just need to submit to that. We need to be willing to go through and whatever it is God wants us to do. And that we shall call upon him and shall go to and pray unto him. And he promises, I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. Reminds me of David writing, to trust in the Lord, to seek the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. He will be found if we will but seek. He wants to be found. Lord, love you tonight, and thank you so much for the truth of your word. I pray to God that you would use your word in our lives and our hearts, whatever that is that you'd want to do. Lord, thank you for the promises that we find here, even for us living here tonight. We know it's quite important to God that we would seek to walk with him and know him, follow after him with our whole heart. I pray that you give us wisdom and boldness that we might seek to do that if we're not already doing it, to gain that personal relationship that, as we preached about Sunday night, that it's not about a religion, it's about having a relationship with our Savior. Help us to dive deep, to know more about God and to walk with him and to be faithful serving him. We love you and we ask these things in your wonderful name. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? We'll have a moment of invitation. If God's spoken to your heart, give you an opportunity to respond. Brother Charlie, if you would, lead us first verse there.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
We're going to go ahead and go through our prayer needs here. And so we start with the personal and slash physical needs.